Is somebody gonna match my freak? Is somebody gonna match my freak? Is somebody gonna match my freak? Somebody!
I've been a nasty girl. Nasty. I've been a nasty girl. Nasty. I've been a nasty girl. Nasty. I've been a nasty, nasty, nasty.
Hello, I am Vic.
I'm Iro.
And I'm Madison.
We're doing the topic of the week,
which is about what urge will save us now that sex won't. Which is apparently written on a billboard in the snow somewhere. And there's much to disagree with regarding this polemic from non-anarchist artist Jenny Holzer. Who's we? Is sex meant to save us? Do we even need saving? Why is this bench $70,000? Nevertheless, I find the thrust of the question provocative and relevant for anarchists. While rebellion and pleasure are inextricably linked, the radicality of this arrangement grows more dicey with the rise of dating apps, in-vogue slutty aesthetics, literal fucking machines, VR porn, and AI girlfriends. Sex is, of course, not exempt from the ever-changing reality of everything. The popularity of arrangements like relationship anarchy, polyamory slash non-monogamy, and the renaissance of queer revolt show anarchists experimenting with these urges in nebulous ways. How do you feel about this provocation as it relates to anarchists? If we're to entertain it at face value, has sex failed as a political project? Has the well dried up or been poisoned? What urge, if any, might follow?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that comes to mind for me is that it seems like it looks to me as if sometimes people get stuck in sex or relationship style as a liberating act and, yeah, kind of recreate or yeah, just like get stuck in the experimentation. I'm calling it getting stuck because it looks like it to me, and framing like a different way of relating through sex or through like intimate relationship as a form of combativeness or attack on society or just like being conflictual to me seems like a way of getting stuck, because I think while personally liberating, it seems to me that it gets recuperated pretty easily and over time gets fully integrated into capital and civilization. And my proposal, I guess, or more so even just the way that I like to think about it, because obviously for me, that stuff has been liberating, but also like I like to think of those relationships and those moments in my life as giving me like energy and an experience of closeness that then kind of pushes me to be more creative or to be more antagonistic with the world around me, because ideally my life would be as liberated as possible and I would be able to make very close connections with a lot of different people and experiment constantly. And that's not necessarily very possible if I have to work all the time and I'm like worried about rent and getting arrested or whatever, like all these different things. And so just kind of like sectioning off a part of my life in which I get to do like liberated sex acts or liberated relationship style, while also then waking up the next morning and going to work and just being in the civilized world or whatever, is both not enough. And it's especially like living where I live, it's clear to me that that just becomes another identity, another lifestyle that is fully integrated and is bought and sold, is advertised to, is, it's like there's like cop cars with rainbows at Pride and all of that. Yeah, I don't know. Apps getting kind of catered to different relationship formats and people that at one time were combative. And yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the way I think about that to start this conversation.
The way that you think about it is what life form can't be recuperated to be meaningless, to be turned meaningless. That's like how you read the provocation.
What life form?
What activity can't be recuperated is kind of like how
I'm
saying that I feel like what you're talking about is recuperation. Like it becomes meaningless because while it's individually satisfying, it's not societally threatening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily meaningless, because I think it still has a lot of meaning for people. It just kind of, the very like worst case scenario I see in it is that it actually advances capitalism because it integrates those things in it and just kind of diversifies it, which I think is like, that's not great when everyone can be marketed to as like a niche market and can feel like, yeah, I don't think it's I'm going to celebrate the integration of people into the capitalist marketplace, basically. And I wouldn't say that any lifestyle other than kind of something that is just purely illegal and combative. It's hard to think of anything that can't be recuperated, but to me that means that, like, I try to think of it as, like, different parts of my life feed other parts or something, rather than one thing being the key to my liberation.
Right.
And maybe that's more so the issue I'm having with it, is like singling this thing out as the one thing that's going to like save us or something.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't think anything can do that.
It can't. You're right.
But say something important that is based on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you recently. I was really shocked to find myself into like queer only spaces and having a really good time with that, because where I live I don't really do that as much anymore, because I kind of feel like there's a lack of necessity for me to be engaging with those spaces there. That's not where I'm finding liberatory moments anymore. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I associate it with the times in my life in which I kind of lost myself in partying. Mm-hmm. And kind of just numbing out to what the world was throwing my way, even though it was very important for me. Sex was so important for me in order to get out of a really conservative upbringing. And it shattered my entire reality in a really beautiful way. And I have a lot to think on back to that time. And I don't know another thing that could have shattered my world like sex did. But at this point, yeah, it's in the place that I live where it is so accepted. I'm pretty salty when I think about the spaces that are solely focused on that and aren't integrating it into other ways of life and ways of attacking the existence.
It's interesting though, because when I think about, I agree with that. And also I think about like other ways that I'm trying to build culture or create culture. And it's like something as simple as like making time for people or creating a welcoming environment or like, imagining other things that are possible, you know? And so it feels, there's something uncomfortable about being like, these people recuperated something, or it's been defanged, and therefore it's not relevant or something. Like that feels, there's something uncomfortable where I'm like, they don't get that for me. Like I still get to have that. And there's a way that like, yeah, so there's something like, and I know that none of you, like neither of you are saying like, let's just let them have it or something. But you know, in a way, effectively, you're like, well, okay, that's been defanged, so I'm just taking space from that or something. And I'm doing that too. But I wonder about, yeah, there's just something there that feels, yeah, unfortunate or makes me angry, or I feel like, yeah, I'm threatened by that. I think I'm threatened by the idea that something can be just taken away like that. But I also feel like when I think about something like Bashback or something, right, where it's like there's a way in which that's a reaction against recuperation. And maybe it folds back on itself. Like, it's like, we're going to do bigger orgies or orgies in illegal places or whatever. But it's like, so in some ways it folds back on itself, but it's also like in response to this like recuperation and defanging of queer culture, for example. And I think that making those kinds of things threatening, even to the people who are like you, can be, there's something there, right? Like, but does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would think that kind of just giving it, letting them have it, is also relating to these things. For me, it's relating to these things through dating apps,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
kind of letting my own relationship to sex shift as everybody else shifts with other relating to sex, instead of staying really true to it being something that can shatter my worldview and break my isolation.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying like you'll let them have it in terms of like the superficiality, like the superficial kind of signifiers, but like the core thing that like broke you out of your upbringing and changed things for you, like there's like a thread there that still feels like it's a threat because it allows you to be more powerful, or it like allows you to embody and embrace power and be threatening to the existent, to put it in anarchist language. is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that's how I feel about it too. Like there's, and I feel like that comes up for me, like because of escorting, where it's like there's this really, you know, sex can be this really intimate thing and it can also be nothing. And like being able to keep a thread alive within myself for those connections, or like have it be something that brings me closer to myself or brings me closer to the people I'm engaging in those types of activities with, is important, because I'm not giving that to clients. Like, I'm not giving that to, I'm choosing who I'm giving that to, basically. And I'm choosing how I'm interacting with that for myself. And so I feel like to engage in activity like that, where you're not, there's this whole societal obsession with connection or sexual prowess in other ways or whatever. And so to be able to pick and choose feels like a way of like sharpening a knife or something. Even if it's silly, like even if you're doing it for work, you know? I mean, yeah, but that core, that like keeping the thing, keeping the beautiful thing and dispensing with the rest feels, it's like interesting to play with like in other areas too, not just sex, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting direction to take it. My worry is that people are, or it seems like a lot of people let themselves be pretty guided by the trends, like larger social trends.
Totally.
And I think it would, like this example you're talking about of having a, like doing sex in different ways that it can have different meaning, or like even opposite meaning to the same person, to me means like, it's important that there's actually a place in my life where I can practice these kind of connections in a meaningful way, in like some kind of actual, like whatever that means to me. And that changes over time. But what I see more often, or I see pretty often in places, is that like as things like dating apps and these things become more prevalent, like people just kind of are going with the flow of those things. And I'm actually on the fence about the letting them have it thing. It's like, I don't think it's okay to just be like, well, yeah, sex is done, whatever, it's fully recuperated. Like, I'm not saying that. I think that letting mainstream society meet each other through their phones, interact largely through that, I'm like okay with that for the most part. But I also want to be practicing something that's like radically different from that with the people that are important to me. And I would prefer to not do that shit at all. And I try not to. I don't know, whatever. Like I make my choices around that. And the anarchist spaces I want to be a part of are like a completely different world and a completely different way of relating. So that from mainstream society, when you see anarchists, you're like, holy shit, like that's some other ass thing. And it's, I want the anarchist space to be a thing that people can like escape mainstream society out of. That is drastically different. That when they enter, they're like, whoa, this is like a whole other way of living life. And to me, that means minimizing like things like dating apps, mediating the way we're communicating with each other, meeting each other, choosing who we're having sex with and all those things. And so like that means a part of creating that and maintaining it does mean like finding the ways of having sex that are like liberating and feel good to each of us and between each of us. It is important, and it is also like not the end, I guess. But it's like, it is part of creating this other world. And then it is something that can give, I feel like can give me a lot of energy to like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, whatever, strike at the world that surrounds me that is limiting that, my ability to experience those things. But it feels like sometimes, maybe we're doing a bit of a straw man or whatever, but it does feel to me like sometimes people feel okay about, or they feel satisfied with just like creating a new dating pool or something, or like a new scene, you know? And it's like, oh, now everyone, or there's like this whole subgenre of people on Tinder or whatever that have black flags and ACAB next to their thing. And so like now I feel like I can participate in this thing and feel like there's space for me, and that's like good enough, you know? And I just personally, that feels really not, that's not good enough at all. That's like not, I'm not satisfied with that in any kind of way. And actually feels like a little, I don't know what the word is, doesn't feel good.
The word is,
it's
bad.
Not a positive way to feel about that.
The word is bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
It feels bad. Yeah.
Well, there's other parts of this question, because right now it feels like we're mostly talking about sex specifically, right? But what about, like, polyamory, non-monogamy? Yeah. What about that?
Well, I guess not talking about polyamory, but I was thinking about this question about, like, in a way of, I guess I got caught up on the word urge and, like, what does it mean to have an urge and why is sex satisfying it? Like, you know, you can break that down into scientific, like, neurotransmitter parts, right? Where it's like you're decreased dopamine and you need to increase dopamine. And so you do something like cocaine, have an orgasm, smash something, whatever, right? Like, you get the dopamine hit and that's like an urge. It kind of feels, it can feel very overpowering, very deep, but it's sort of superficial. Right. It's like not the same as a need. And I guess it made me think about, you know, is it, who does the hierarchy of needs? Is it Maslow? Whatever. Yeah. So, like, you know, like, there's needs that, like, they're only considered needs if you die. But I was talking with someone about this prompt, and we were talking about, like, anarchy as a need as opposed to an urge or a desire, and that how that brings that into the sphere of what you're already doing. And there's two things in our conversation that make me think about that. One is that, in that sense, recuperation doesn't matter. In a way, because we are creating anarchy in our connections and the ways that we're interacting and we're having those kinds of relationships now. And there's things that block us from realizing that fully. And so knowing being up against the limit keeps us in the need. Like, we need to break through those things. We need, that's more than a desire. Like, we need it because we need to have these better connections or more honest connections or ability to see ourselves without society reflecting us back. So monstrously or something. And that's one way to think about it. And then the other is just like kind of like anarchy as utopia. And then, and I know that we've talked about this before, like maybe even in the podcast, but like as someone's definition of utopia being like, it's the horizon, like you'll never get there, but it's the urge that keeps you going. And some days I think that's beautiful. And some days I think that's bullshit, right? Like, I'm like, I want to do anarchy. I'm capable of doing anarchy. I'm capable of creating the world that I want to see right now with the people I'm around, even though there's things in my way. Fuck those things. And I have to destroy them because it's a need that I have. And I see that reflected in the people who I have affinity with, right? They need that too. And so, I don't know. That's just like what it made me think of.
I love the way that you put that. I had such a different response to the word urge. Urge made me think about like something that you can't think about anymore and that you just have to do. You just can't stay trapped in your mind. And it's something that overrides your actions and reveals truth.
I don't think that's always the
case for every single urge that we have, but I do think that it has the potential to be that.
So wait, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So an urge, it's like something that you feel that has to be expressed.
Yeah.
Like you can know, you have to like get it out of your body or you have to act on it. I like it. Let's create a new word that somehow is something, it's like need light. But when you think about that urge, does it feel, well then just to stick, like, does anarchy feel like an urge? Does sex feel like an urge then? Are they even comparable?
Like, yeah. For me, but I was thinking it more in a positive way, you know, of just being like, yeah, absolutely. These are urges that it's something that I cannot lull myself back into some sort of reality where I'm delusional and thinking that without these two things, I'm fine. Because I'm not okay without them.
Yeah, we have to do so much character armor to live in a world which alienates ourselves from our urges and needs, right? It's like so much distancing and coping. Because if we, like, there is a way in which we lived our full expression, it's not, I don't know. Yeah, it's maybe not recuperable.
Yeah, I don't like the thing of juxtaposing wants and needs. Like, I actually think that that's a way of imposing a reality onto people. Like, I think, and I, from what I remember, the top of the Maslow pyramid of needs or whatever is self-actualization.
No, it's water.
Which one is it?
I thought it's water. Oh, you mean, okay, the base is water. Okay.
Yeah, the base, I think the base is food and water, and then there's like like shelter and all that. But I think it's like if you achieve all the base ones, there's still the need for self-actualization. And as a if I'm remembering correctly, I hope I'm not just talking out of my ass, but
that's how I remember it.
But then like for an anarchist, that's like means at least whatever. Different anarchists means different things, right? But like for me, that means no work. Like, it means I never have to work again. It means I never have to relate to anyone else through any economic transaction ever again. It means that, whatever. It means a whole bunch of different things. And those are not, like, wants. Like, I'm not willing to say that those are less important or something. Like, yeah, I need those things, you know? Like, and the, I don't know, maybe this is a bit of a tangent, but I think the wants need thing gets like leveraged on people that as a way of telling them that they're whatever the thing they want or need is like not important or something or doesn't need to be addressed. But I think that's like a thing people just get to decide what they need. People should just get to decide what they want and need, basically, is what I'm saying. And I'm not willing to separate those people or say that there's an objective like set of wants and needs. And you know, like, I do feel like I agree with y'all. Like, I also feel like I need anarchy because I've tried to live without it and it, like, didn't work for me. Like, to the point where, like, it was, like, actually physically detrimental to try to live in a different way. And so that's, like, it's hard for me to then see it as just a want, you know? Yes. That's the comment I have to make about this play.
Do you want to go back talking about relationship and everything?
I mean, I have a lot of things to say about polyamory. Polyamory as a trend, I guess, of liberated relationship format that I have a knee-jerk reaction to. And it's not specific to polyamory, but it's just like when there's a way of framing one way of doing things as like the liberated way, I instantly just don't want to do it that way anymore.
Is that true? Because you frame anarchy as a liberated way of doing it.
My knee-jerk reaction is yes. Like when the people around me are like, this is the liberated way of doing stuff, I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's totally like, it is an example of me being ruled by the opposite, you know, or whatever. Like, it's like, I'm deciding to not do a thing without asking myself whether I actually want to do it. I'm just like, oh, you're all telling me to do this thing? Like, well, then I'm going to do the fucking opposite. That is my knee-jerk thing. And it's just it's just a pattern I've had since I was really little. But I think it's like, I don't know, it serves me sometimes or whatever too. That it helps me. It's like a step in the direction of figuring out what I actually want to do. Because I think if it worked for me just to be like, oh yeah, sure, whatever, it's the liberated thing and I went along with it, it's just not my path to get into my own way, or hasn't been for me. Like, I have to do a thing of rebelling and then eventually being like, well, I don't even like the thing that I'm doing now that much or whatever. Like, there are problems with it. Maybe some of these people are kind of right a little bit. And then it's just like a long way of learning from my own mistakes, I guess, or something. But yeah, I feel pretty reactive to the existence of polyamory as like, or like projection of polyamory as like, whatever, / non-monogamy, / ethical slothood, or whatever other names people have for these things, as like the way of liberated relationship. I think that's stuff people have to figure out by themselves. And it's cool that there's more things to fuck around with now. I like that.
You mean like the virtual reality porn and stuff? Is that what you mean? More things to fuck around with?
No, that's not cool.
The word you're looking for is bad.
Yeah. The word I'm looking for is bad. But you know, if I were pretending to be really open-minded, I would say that those people should get to do that, but that would be me pretending.
But I was interested, I'm sorry, I was interested in what you were saying about so you were saying that the liberated relationship or the polyamory relationship, can you just say that briefly, your take home on it?
My take home on it. Just that once a thing becomes framed or marked as the liberated way of relating to each other, it just kind of stagnates the whole thing that's happening, or people figuring out what they want to do or what their needs are, and instead is like becomes a new social standard of being. I'm like against that existing, even if it like works for me or not. Like the thing that you were saying about utopia being a horizon, whatever thing means, like that's true on an individual level, and people have to figure out what their utopia is, and then figure out the people that want to like move in that direction, or move in some direction that takes them on a similar path for like some amount of time, and that's what like community, I guess, would be, you know, or family, or whatever you want to call it. But just creating a new way, you know, or like creating a scene that's like, this is how we all act, and we're all free, like that's like, it's kind of the thing that happened with punk, you know? That's kind of silly. It's like, we're all free and we are challenging fashion and aesthetics by all dressing exactly the same way. And if you don't, then it's like, you know, you can create new standards of being versus that, like limiting it, like specific creation, society, like the different aesthetic or something.
It broke up, but I think I followed you. yeah. I mean, I think that that stuff is, it just creates a new morality, right? That you have to break through, and it's more noise to figure out what actually works for you. Because if you're immersed in a culture, like normative culture or whatever, broader culture, which is like, you know, a wife and kids, and that's the way to do it. Then when you have the other culture, it's like, it pulls at you in a different direction, and it's a little bit harder. It's more distance to find out what it is that you actually want as an individual, or what actually works for you. So I agree with that. I think but I feel like, again, it's just very individual, you know, like for some people, it does feel liberating to work through the confines of social conditioning. And social conditioning tells us that we will find one person who will love us forever, and our worth is completely tied up in that, basically, right? And then in maybe in anarchy culture or polyamory subculture, at least it's like your worth is defined by how okay you are by yourself. And I think that's reactionary as well. Like, I also think that it is, for me, I guess, and I'm just going to put it personally, like, for me, it feels important to broaden that net, and like, it's terrifying to rely on people for me. And it's terrifying to, you know, in a way, well, it's easier for me to be relied on than it is for me to rely on people just personally. But like, I think that broadening that net and having more connection and like more vulnerability with a wider group of people, polyamory or not, even just friends, like people who I depend on, who I'm interconnected with to create this other world. It's like, that does feel powerful. And it does feel like it breaks down conditioning rather than being focused on one person, myself, which is kind of what individualist anarchy is all about, right? Which polyamory is like, at least in 2004, when I got my first poly zine and I was told that I was terrible for having desires or needs or any of that kind of stuff, like it took a long time to break through that and be like, no, I'm allowed to say how I feel, and the issue is of course like what people do with that, right? Like, and I have to make a decision. They can care or not care, but I'm not going to force them to care, right? Like, I think it's more about that was vague, but like what I'm saying is that it's actually infinitely scarier to have like rely on a broader group of people to be your family. It's like more people who can disappoint you, or more people who can build you up. Or I mean, there's both and, obviously. But I feel like, I lost the thread of what I'm saying. You get it.
I think that polyamory getting popular, I don't know, I don't like the word polyamory. I kind of use it as to mean everything that was potentially radical about the way that we're newly relating outside of monogamy has just been caught up into more mechanisms of control. Mm-hmm. And so I'm playing with words, you know, I think that people could use the word polyamory and mean something totally different. I kind of view it as like, it's monogamy multiplied, plural monogamy. So you're navigating multiple relationships in which you're kind of striving after this fairy tale that you've been told, that if somebody loves you enough, they'll just not look at anybody else. Or some, you know, now the new thing with polyamory is that if somebody loves you enough, they'll follow the rule book that you have meticulously arranged, in order to stay safe in that. And I really don't like the direction that all of it has, you know, mainstream society has been taking, but that's not news for me to not like the way that it's taking them. I still think it's for me in my life, I think it's been really important to view monogamy not as like, I am sleeping with multiple people all the time, or I am from the outside looking like I'm constantly doing non-monogamy, but more so using that framework to challenge how I relate to people, and how I support them in creating the most kind of liberated relational spaces that we can together. Oftentimes that looks from the outside like I am not doing non-monogamy, because it's just, you know, me focusing on like one person that I like, but it does feel really different to me, you know, after being non-monogamous for so long. It is, yeah, the devil's in the details, and I am really glad that I've experimented so extensively with non-monogamy, because it has altered my relationships dramatically, and they have felt a little bit more like a place where we can be liberated in them, as opposed to falling into like these roles in which we do X, Y, Z because we're told that that's what we should be doing in order to show each other love.
Yeah, I agree that it has, for me, also changed. Like, it changes my expectations. I think I have more expectations because of, like, doing polyamory. Like, I have more expectations of myself, and I have more expectations of the people in my life to be considerate, to know themselves, to be able to communicate what they're needing, and not, like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I understand, if I'm recalling the, like, little pamphlet I read in 2004, the map of how to do this stuff, I feel like there's things in there that are, like, it does fundamentally change society if everybody's doing that all the time, right? Like, there is a way in which the fabric of society would be changed if we were able to know ourselves truly and know our desires and be able to communicate about them and actualize them. Like, I do actually believe that. It's just that it doesn't. And it's exactly as you said, like, it can look however. It doesn't necessarily mean you're fucking more people, but it's more about the relationship with yourself and value or something. And that kind of confidence extends to other activities. However, unfortunately, what it often looks like is it incapacitates people because they're jealous or because they're hurt or whatever. So it can, or because they're endlessly sucked into processing or whatever. But that's kind of like, again, the devil's in the details of like how that looks for each person. But I like what you're saying about it.
I can't really imagine having friendships go as deep as they do without using a non-monogamy framework.
Yeah.
I think that how deep my friendships can go would make any monogamous partner jealous. And I would have a lot of explaining to do with that. I mean, I don't get in those arrangements anymore. But it, to me, it's about relating more so than sex. I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, I think that this would, if everyone did this, it would change the way society works. And I think we would still have civilization, capitalism, all of that. I don't think it's actually challenging anything. Like, I think it's like, yeah, and I mean, we're talking about this at the beginning. Like, I think, yes, it's liberating for people. Yes, it can be very meaningful. It can be a way of kind of world building in our own relationships and little friend groups and everything. But I think the thing that I see myself as fighting or whatever is like fully capable of integrating those things, or like polyamory or whatever, and actually like making it kind of aid the functioning of capitalism rather than be any kind of obstruction. And that's like, that's my main critique, I guess, of it as like an end. Or as like a thing to get started.
For sure. But do you also have the same critique of other things that that society is fully able to incorporate, like attack? Like, I think that, for example, nobody is like, I mean, I feel like this comes into what you're saying makes total sense to me. And I agree with you, actually. But I'm just trying to say that this becomes a conversation about what's the point of doing anything, right? Like, we're not having the same critique of smashing ATMs or something, which also is small potatoes when you think about it. But it can feel really big to a person. And also all Chase Bank has to do or whatever is increase their percentage by 0.001 and it pays for the ATM. It's everybody else is paying for it. But it's the spirit of the thing that we value, right?
Yes, and I don't think that's recuperable. Like, I think just if capitalism or these institutions or whatever can account for some form of attack, that's not the same as integrating it into it and making it the culture.
Like, I see. Like, Chase Bank is like, all right, on Tuesday, to get your money, just go out with a hammer.
Yes, there's a reason why things like pride get defanged in the way that they do, even sure. if they start as riots, you know? Like, sure. I think there's it's hard to imagine a world in which pride is like a sanctioned riot or whatever, you know? In which people just smash everything. Maybe that's possible, but it doesn't seem like it's the norm, you know what I mean? Like, things have to get turned into this, like, really pacified version of themselves to get in court. Like, they have to function within a world of work, within a world of, like, order in a certain sense, and all this stuff. And so, like, there are certain activities that are really hard to integrate. And I think this kind of, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to fetishize things like smashing ATMs or whatever. But it is an example of something that is different, that is harder to integrate.
But I guess maybe for me, it's more of a philosophical question or something. Like, I don't know, because I'm not sure. I guess it's just maybe to me, this seems like sort of a difficult conversation within anarchist circles anyways. We're constantly changing the scope of what we're doing. Like, and there's a way in which it's saying, like, if this doesn't fundamentally change society, it's not worth doing. And maybe you're not saying that. You're just saying, I don't think it does that. And people who think that this is the ends of what they're doing, then that's, like, insufficient, which I would agree with. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, I just don't think I think the question is itself flawed because we can't pare down what we're doing to one activity. Like, we can't just change who we have sex with and have it be threatening. We can't just, you know, like, do certain things and have it. There are people who, what am I trying to say? For me, anarchy is like a holistic thing, right? It's like, if maybe perhaps I would feel more inspired by someone who was attacking all the time or burning down, like logging facilities or something, right? Like, and they were doing that, but everything else in their life was completely straight-laced. They were just like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that would be slightly more inspiring to me on a day, but I would still be able to critique it because that's not what I want. I don't want someone to have business-like precision in their attack. I'm not that interested in that, to be honest. Maybe it would get more done, but it's not what I'm going for. Like, I want there to be, like, it's more holistic.
Right.
Am I saying something silly?
No, that makes sense. I think subjectively, like, a liberated existence does mean different things to different people, and something which can seem from the outside of people having this, like, work relationship or something to these ways of doing anarchy or however you refer to it, or attack or whatever. And attack, like, when I say attack, I'm using it very broadly. It's not specifically,
I know,
like, direct action or whatever. Like, I don't know. I mean, to counter my own thing,
fun.
I think that for me, trying to do a relationship in a different way, romantic or otherwise, or, like, continue questioning and trying to figure out what my needs are, has been a thing that kind of pushes me up against society or something. Because I see that those my own needs are, like, obscured by my conditioning, which I hold society responsible for.
Exactly.
And so then it's like, it puts me in an antagonistic relationship. I guess the place that I'm afraid of becoming stagnant at is if I were like, oh, I figured it out. Like, this is actually what I want, you know? Like, I wanna go on Tinder, date a different person every day or whatever, and that feels satisfying. So now I'm like, that's it, I'm done. Whatever, I'll just have a straight job and date a different person every day for the rest of my life. Like, that is the place that I am afraid of. Like, to be honest, that's the place I'm afraid of finding myself. But I guess it's maybe just like a pointless anxiety because it hasn't happened for me personally so far. And I'm more like maybe projecting because I see other people doing that, or I think they're doing that, but maybe they're not if I actually ask them. I don't know.
I think there's something about using the metric of how easily recuperable is this is not working for me when I think about what I'm doing on an individual level. Like, that is something that I think about when I want to really analyze my impact externally.
Right.
But if it's about my life, I don't think it's really that important to think about outside of okay, that's happening over there. I'm going to be aware how dating apps are shifting the way that people are relating to each other. And I think that it's shifting the relationships for the worse. That's like a judgment I feel, you know, pretty clear in. But it doesn't really have anything to do with the way that I'm relating to those things. I can relate to sex in a completely different way. I can relate to relationships in a completely different way. What's happening out there, I don't know. It's feeling less and less relevant the more we're talking about it, because it more so has to do with the individual and their process with all of these things and how they move through it.
So maybe the process of people figuring this stuff out for themselves is like the thing to do, rather than figuring out ways to like integrate yourself into society or just be reactive to society. Finding a way to encourage that in each other is like, that's gonna look so different for different people and just in different places and different genders between every two individuals, I think. Like finding a way of creating an environment that encourages that rather than one that like encourages the integration or whatever, you know? I like that direction.
Me too. The other part of the marquee says, "You are trapped on the earth, so you will explode." Which I guess I just, I don't know why I just saw that. I didn't see that before. So, but
it kind of feels like sometimes a lot of art is just like trying to be shocking. Or, like, trying to say things that will make you be like, whoa. And then it will get your attention, you know? Or maybe be something that's, like, whatever. Like, someone can put a lot of words behind and say is, like, really meaningful. And I don't know. Yeah, it's just art. I'm generally critical of art because mostly it feels like just marketing, kind of.
Yeah.
And I'm always suspicious of it as well, you know?
Yeah.
As somebody putting this thing with you, like, whatever, what urge will save us now that sex won't, is just saying like a provocative thing that will get them to sell their couch or whatever it is. But that's like, I'm generally pretty bad faith when it comes to looking at art, especially this kind of stuff. So I don't know. But it's cool that it was used for this conversation nonetheless.
Go team. Figured it out. Again.
Does anyone have closing remarks, conclusions, more stuff for people to think about or anything, or do you want to just close?
I'm thinking, but I'm not ready to be sharing. Okay.
I just want to say before people get upset, I made a comment about that people shouldn't have VR porn headsets, and I just want to clarify that I still think that.
Me too, actually.
Thanks everyone for listening, and talk to not you next time.